Recording, please.
Good morning to everyone and
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of Duropla Industries Limited and SKP Securities to Duropla Industries Q1 FY24 earnings webinar. We have with us Mr. Sudeep Chitlangia, Managing Director, Mr. Akhilesh Chitlangia, ED and CEO, and Mr. Pawan Kumar Verma, CFO. This webinar is being recorded for compliance reasons, and during this discussion, there may be certain forward-looking numbers which must be viewed in conjunction with the risks the company faces. We'll have the opening remarks by Mr. Chitlangia, followed by a presentation by the management, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Sudeep.
Thank you, Davinji. Good morning to everyone, and thank you for attending our earnings webinar for Q1 FY24. I'm happy to inform that during Q1 FY24, Duropla has reported a revenue of 75.86 crores, an increase of 6.5% compared to the quarter one FY23, with a profit after tax of rupees 1.28 crores. This is our fifth consecutive quarter of profit, truly demonstrating that the turnaround story is on the right track. Duropla is recognized across India for its high standard of quality that has been maintained over the years. While our presence is very strong in the northern part of the country, but at the same time, we are expanding our network very rapidly across the other parts of the country. In the last financial year, we had infused rupees 28 crores in by way of equity capital in the equity capital by way of preferential allotment of equity shares and warrants. Warrants issued to the promoter group pending for conversion will be done in the near future. This infusion of funds has allowed us to take the company on a growth path, as is evident from our performance in FY23 and the continued performance into FY24. Business in the first quarter of the financial year is usually a little subdued. Cyclone Biparjoy also caused some challenges on the logistics front, but fortunately, there was no impact on the plant. The business scenario continues to look quite optimistic with the continued thrust of the current government on infrastructure development. The unlocking of the potential of the tourism industry will continue to spur the growth and demand for our products continuously, and we are gearing up to meet this future demand. At Duropla, the next generation of promoters continue to add significant energy and exuberance in our turnaround story. Akhilesh Chitlangia, who is the ED and COO, is responsible for overall operations. As VP Manufacturing, Abhishek Chitlangia is responsible for the supply chain and the manufacturing operations. I now invite Akhilesh to speak about the Q1 performance in greater detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Sudeep. So as mentioned, we had an increase in our revenue on a year-on-year basis, closing at 75.86 crores, which is a 6.5% increase over quarter one FY23. Despite challenges in quarter one, so this has been a very promising development from our end. Our revenue from our own manufacturing in Rajkot increased by 2% to 47 crores for the quarter ended, and revenue from contract manufacturing has increased by 14% approximately to 29 crores for the quarter ended. This is on a year-on-year basis. Our strategic decision to enter the mid-price market through our brand Tower continues to pay dividend, with Tower sales growing by over 16% over the last financial year same time. The sale of Duro-branded products, however, remained flat. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, the Tower range grew by 5%, while the Duro range saw a decline of approximately 13%. Our distribution network continues to grow across the country. We have appointed 32 new channel partners in quarter one, financial year 2024. Given the muted demand, we moderated our marketing expenses in quarter one to 3.3% of sales, as compared to 4.1% for the financial year 2023. However, this is expected to increase in the coming quarters to close to 4% of the sales. Overall, EBITDA margins have marginally increased from 5.7% for Q1 FY23 to 5.8% in Q1 FY24. Our cash conversion cycle has seen a slight increase. This is due to the company significantly investing in raw material and finished goods, keeping in mind the monsoon season and the impact it may have on the quarter two performance. I now request Mr. Pawan Verma, who is a CFO, to take you through some of our numbers.
Thank you, Achilleji, and good morning to everyone. Let me take you through some of the key financials from the last quarter. Our COGS stood at 66.1% as compared to 65.7% in Q4 and 65.3% in Q1 FY22. This is largely on account of increased business from contract manufacturing, which contributes approximately 24% margin as compared to 40% on the in-house manufacturing goods. These margins are consistent with financial year 23. We also continue to see significant inflationary pressure on our raw material cost. Though improved operating parameters, despite increase in cost, we have maintained our margin through better cost control and initiative on market, allowing for higher sales of higher profitable SKU. Our employee cost stood at 9.9% of sales as compared to 9.5% in FY23. We expect this to moderate with higher sales in subsequent quarters. Our debtors has increased from 35 days of sales to 38 days of sales. Our inventory days has increased from 134 days of consumption to 140 days of consumption. Our creditors days has increased from 119 days of consumption to 125 days of consumption. As a result, our cash conversion cycle has increased from 49 days in FY23 to 53 days in Q1 FY24. Our interest outflow marginally increased in Q1 FY24 as against Q4 FY23 on account of higher utilization of our cash limits to fund the increase in our stock holding capacity. Interest cost as a percentage of sales stood at 2.4%. Of sales. Our ROCE has stood at 11% as compared to 12% in FY23. Thank you. And now I invite Achilleji to.
Thank you, Pawan. So the journey for us has just begun and there's a long way to go. We are confident that this turnaround is sustainable and the company will continue to grow. We had indicated our growth to be in the range of 18 to 20% for this financial year, but the demand in quarter one was muted. But yet we are still confident of maintaining our overall growth this financial year in the mid to high teens. With that, Naveenji, I request to open the floor for any question and answers.
Thank you, Sudeepji, Akhilesh, and Pawanji. Friends, we open the floor for the Q&A session. So anyone with a question, request you to please raise your hand. We'll unmute you and take your question with the management. We'll just wait for a couple of minutes while the questions are being lined up. We have the first question from Jojo Shaju. Jojo, please unmute yourself and go ahead.
So, am I audible?
Yes, loud and clear. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So, sir, I just want to know the current capacity for the plywood right now and what is the expansion plans going forward. And I want to know, can we expect the revenue to double in next 3 or 4 years? Or what is the strategy you are pursuing at the company level?
Thank you for the question. Our Rajkot's capacity is to do approximately 220 crores per annum. And we've been operating at about 80 to 85% utilization. So that's the first part. Second part, or you know, we're looking at a mid to high teens growth over the next couple of years to continue on a year-on-year basis. So that's the type of growth we are estimating. And as that we mentioned in our previous earning call as well, that our current focus is to do a little debottlenecking of our plant, and in addition, to grow through an asset-light contract manufacturing model. So I hope that answers your question.
So what is the contract manufacturing percentage right now? And where do you see going forward that proportion?
That's currently approximately one-third of our entire revenue. And we expect that segment to grow faster at about 20 to 22% year on year, and the own manufacturing to about 8 to 10%.
Okay, sir. But just to confirm, can we expect a 500 crore sales by, let's say, FY 25 or 26?
That would be very far in the future to say, but all efforts are going on to rapidly take advantage of the growth opportunity that exists in the market. But it would be too premature for us to give an indication for something that's 3 years away from today. We're just focused on doing better quarter on quarter at this point of time.
Okay, sir. And which geographical markets you are targeting right now? And what is the response you are getting for your products there?
So nearly two-thirds of our revenue comes from North India. North, which is our strongest market. But we're seeing growth from all our zones. In fact, West and South and East India are growing faster than North India, of course, because the base is much lower there. Our focus right now is to maximize our opportunities in North India and grow West, South and East quite aggressively. We're getting very good response, in particular from West and South at this point of time.
Okay. How many dealers you have right now? Can you give me the breakup like in the West and South which you are targeting? How many dealers you have right now? Or what is your plans for adding these dealers?
I don't have the exact numbers in front of me at this point of time. But we have more than 650 direct distributors and dealers across India. We're looking to add them across India. So it's not that there's anything specific for a particular zone. If you would like the data, if you just drop us a mail and then we'd be able happy to answer it there.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And that's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Friends, anyone with a question, request you to raise your hand and we'll take it up. We have a question from Dilip Sahu. Dilip, please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah, thank you. I am new to the company and the sector, so excuse my ignorance if the questions are too basic. First of all, big congratulations on a wonderful annual report. It is extremely clear, concise, very confident, and I think conveys the hope that the management has on future. I hope you continue to give such precise and transparent annual reports in future. That's one. Coming to the business, the message I got from the annual report is that you are trying to be more a marketing company and kind of convert and bring in a lot of focus into channel expansion and distribution. So on both, and particularly on this tower brand that you have launched, because from what I understand is that the brand Duro is a very, very strong brand, particularly in North, and that's the essence of the company. So by launching another brand like Tower, which from what I understand is a mass brand that you want to create, can you just dwell a little bit deeper into the philosophy on how do you are going to manage two brands with the kind of resources that we have, the kind of the demand that you know, when you are competing with such strong brands like Green or Century, Willing. So that is on the marketing and branding side. And in terms of distribution, what is the strategy for South and West? And if you can give a 3 to 5 years perspective on vis-a-vis the top two brands that are there in this market, where you want to peg in, because the intention is to be number three, right? So where you peg in, is it going to be a very, very distant number three, which is almost insignificant, or is it going to be a real, you know, competitive number three? That's the second one. Third question is in terms of, now I think you have kind of pegged down the growth from 15-20 to mid-teens, which to my mind is 14-18 or maybe less. Is it not a, I mean, for a company which is a 300 crore company, to be a significant, say, 1,000 crore company, it will take, you know, 7, 8, 10 years. So is this a, is this going to change in the near future? Is there a reason why this growth scale down happened? These are three questions I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sahu. On the marketing side, so the Duro brand operates in the premium and super premium segment, and there's a limited customer base for that sale. You know, if you look at it, the industry is from a pyramid angle. The top of the pyramid is always a very crowded space. The response on the mid segment is coming faster. You know, as the income levels across India, you know, it goes up, people are wanting to spend more money on their home interiors. And that's the brand, you know, that's the strategy we've taken, is to tap into this market. We've kept the names separately so that to avoid any cannibalization of sales and to give it two distinct identities. Tower still come from, you know, Duroply Industries Limited. So on the trade side, it's easier for the channel partners to convince their customers that this is a more economical offering from Duro. So if you can't afford, or you know, your budgets don't allow for purchase of Duro, then Tower is the way to go. So I hope that kind of answers your question. Tower is a 100% through contract manufacturing. That also means that our working capital cycle is slightly easier on the Tower brand. So it doesn't put as much constraint on our working capital challenges as, so that's the strategy behind Tower. Second question was on the distribution expansion. So as you rightly mentioned, that we aspire to be the number three brand in the midterm. The challenge that dealers are facing with company like, you know, the other larger players that you mentioned, was that because of a rapid expansion in their dealer network and the brand pull that they enjoy, the channel partners don't get the type of margins that they want from a branded player. So that's the gap that we are plugging in, that there is a market demand. There is a very good brand recall with Duro. We have a story that the company is more than 66 years old, which resonates very strongly with consumers, because plywood is a, you know, it's a very emotional purchase where people are looking for durability. And what is the best way to demonstrate that other than the fact that the brand is the oldest in the industry today? So that's what's exciting dealers in partnering with us. And that's where we are getting the response from the A grade dealers across India. The third question, I hope I answered that question for you. And the third one was on the growth being moderated. The growth got moderated is because of our performance in quarter one. Demand was much more muted than expected in quarter one. And for those reasons, we have moderated our growth to 14 to 18%. This is the growth that we are anticipating for this year, and our plans will be reviewed on a quarter-on-quarter and annual basis. Once there is strength in the balance sheet and there is an opportunity for a faster expansion as well on the capacity as well as the revenue side, we will start pursuing that at that point of time. But for this year, we will keep it in the you know, the mid-teens growth.
Sure. Thank you very much. You know, just a further question.
Sure.
From your vantage point, is there some pressing, you know, issues you see in terms of growth? For assuming that the market growth is there, is there something intra to the company, either in terms of resources or marketing funds, or is this or the organization depth required to expand into South and West? Is that a issue, or is it just external market conditions? I'm just trying to understand.
Sure.
Because you know if you compare number 1, 2, and 3, the size is so, you know, and the gap is so high that it doesn't really matter market growing at 3% or 8%. Yeah, that's where I'm coming right. From. So is the market growth a matter to a company which is at in 300, 400, 500 crore, right. You know, share? And you are, most of your business comes from north, right? You are practically northern in south and west. So,
So our biggest challenge is actually the unorganized sector. The unorganized sector accounts for 75 to 80% of the trade. That is one very big challenge that we face on a day-to-day basis. Second is also, you know, as we've started growing, there's a lot of competition in the market from other players as well. They have also, if you see, they've increased their brand spending in this industry as well. So those kind of create some challenges on the external side. On the internal side, you know, we raised working capital last financial year to take care and, you know, get us back on the growth path. And we would like to be a little conservative and not go for a very high growth. The growth has to be sustainable. We have one of the lowest days of debtors in the industry. We keep a very strict debtor control. Therefore, bad debts also over the years have been extremely negligible. And that's how we would like to keep it. It's very easy to increase sales by letting go of some of the financial controls that we have put in place. But that's not what we want to do right now. So from an internal perspective, probably that could be a constraint, is our, you know, we're very stringent on our credit control.
Sure. I thank you very much, and all the best.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Dilip. We have a question from Udit Gajiwala. Udit, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. So firstly, wanted to check that, you know, what kind of price hike do you expect across the industry and from your end as well for the coming year? And when you are expanding the market, what is your strategy to compete with those regional brands as well as the organized established brand in the said regions where you want to go?
Right. Thank you, Udit. So first of all, on the price increase side, while the raw material cost has been increasing in our industry, for whatever reason, it's not getting passed on to the consumers as much as we would like it to. We've implemented a small 2% price hike, which has become effective from middle of June. So the full effect of that will be visible in the quarter of in quarter two. And I would assume the industry as a whole should see another price increase of 3 to 4% in the coming months. But you know, market dynamics will determine whether that happens or not. Because if demand remains muted, then implementing a price increase becomes that much harder. So that's one. So we'll keep an eye out on that. And sorry, can you repeat your second question, please?
How are we placing ourselves versus the regional brands and the organized brand in the markets where you want to expand?
Sure. So what we are doing quite well, I'll just elaborate on this. First is that we are able to give our channel partners a marginally better product margins. That kind of attracts them towards the company. Second is that we run a very robust contractor loyalty program. Our industry is very influencer driven. And third is that we're working very aggressively with the interior designers and architects in getting the brand specified. The biggest asset that we have, as I mentioned earlier, is that the brand is more than 66 years old. And in a category where product durability is the key factor, there is no other better testimony to how good our product quality is by being able to demonstrate that we've been in this industry for more than 60 years. So riding on this, we've been growing our market. We're doing a lot of digital media presence, especially with the influencer, interior designer, architect segment, working with them and market cross-marketing with them to increase our brand awareness, where our spends also helps them get some business. So we're trying a lot of new initiatives on all these fronts, which is resulting in the market responding very well to us. And another thing I'd like to add is that our sales team, it's extremely well-trained sales team. They help in tertiary sales from the dealer's counter to end consumers. This also keeps our channel partners motivated to continue working with us. So it's a combination of all these factors that is allowing us to grow, and that's our strategy going forward as well.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Dilip, do you have a follow-up question? Your hand is raised, so in case there is, please unmute yourself and go ahead. Jojo, your hand too is raised. Do you have a follow-up question? Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. Yeah. So I just want to check on the scenario on the wood procurement. Do we have enough procurement strategy? Or what's the scenario there?
So Jojo, yes. So wood procurement is becoming a challenge as the months go on. There's shortage of timber, and the heavy rains across parts of the country has made it challenging. But with better payment terms, we've been able to increase the number of suppliers. So we've, in terms of procurement, we're very well hedged, on the supply chain side. Second is also that we started recently importing some of our raw materials as well, because import of timber has now become a viable option. So we're trialing that and to see how that pans out. The concern is the price increase, but not the availability of raw material at this point of time. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, yes, sir. And just last question from my side. What is the average realization we are getting for Duro brand on a per square feet base?
I don't have that on me right now, but I'd be happy to share that in the future.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Jojo. We have a question from A. Bala Subramanian. Bala, please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. I'm new to this company. I just want to understand about the margin side. Earlier, we have done margins of 3%, 4%, and something went on negative also earlier years. So right now, we are maintaining around 5%. I just want to understand, is there any seasonality in the business? And how do we look at on the margin side going forward? And the working capital side also, I just want to understand how we are fine with our customers and vendors. And the inventory side also, if you got some clarity, that would be really helpful.
Sure. So thank you for that question. our EBITDA margins have substantially improved from the past. We are close to 6%, averaging at 5.8-5.7%, as compared to in the past 3% EBITDA margins. This is largely come on account of the working capital infusion that happened in the company in the last financial year by way of equity. That has allowed us to meet the inherent demand that the market has. So there's been a volume increased and value increased. We've been able to procure materials on better terms. So as a combination of all that, we've been able to increase our margins. And can you just repeat your second question, please?
Sir, I just want to understand the working capital cycle, how we are fine with our vendors and customers, and so, the inventory side also.
So on the working capital side, we were very stretched, but last year we saw a significant reduction in our inventory cycle as well as payables, and we expect the same to continue to further improve on an annualized basis. Inventories in our business are slightly on the higher side for the simple reason that we also operate in the decorative veneer business, which is very working capital intensive. So that is there. We've implemented many new initiatives to moderate our inventory cycle holding periods. This quarter, it slightly got up due to the company investing in additional raw material, keeping in mind the challenges that the monsoon season has, and it'll begin to moderate again. Days payable is at about 119 to 120 days, and this, with the improved performance of the company and profitability, will start coming down. It anyways drastically reduced from what it used to be at 180 to 190 days. It's down to about 120 days, and we expect this to continue to come down in the near future.
One more question. So, look, we are a small player in the industry having 150 crore market cap. I just want to understand the competition side. If you could throw who are our major competitors and how we are differentiate ourselves from our competitors.
Right. Our major competition actually comes from across the industry. Of course, there are the two large players, Greenply, Century Ply, and they have much bigger marketing budgets, and because of the larger volume, they also enjoy a lot of marketing pull. So definitely there's a lot of competition from them, and then there are a lot of regional players across the country. So parts of Eastern India has different brands, and parts of Western India, they all have different brands that are playing there. So, you know, we get a lot of competition from there, but what's really stood for us has been our consistency of quality, high quality products that we've delivered for more than 60 plus years. We're the only brand that gives a lifetime guarantee from insect infestation in the market from termites. We have phenomenal relationships with our channel partners. That is the standout point. Most of our dealer distributors have been associated with us for more than 15, 20 years, which shows stability in our product quality as well as our business strategy. Focus to the consumers has always been that a company that has been in the industry for more than 60 years stands only on, you know, on quality. And this resonates very well with the consumer sector. And lastly, we work very aggressively with carpenters and contractors through a digital loyalty program. We engage with interior designers and architects, you know, ensuring that our brands are specified in all the key relevant projects that happen across the country. We have a very well trained sales team. So all of this gives us an edge over the regional players. And, you know, as getting better relationship with our channel partners, giving them slightly better margins than the larger players is helping us grow our business as well.
Okay, sir. So I missed on the earlier part regarding the volumes and revenue growth side. If you had any guidance, that would be really helpful. And I just want to understand, is there any further demand in the industry? We are doing any capex part? If you could more clarity, that would be really helpful.
I answered that earlier. Our revenue growth is moderated to the mid-teens, and In terms of capital expenditure, we continue to do a small capital expenditure in our plant to debottleneck the plant, but our major focus on growth is through the contract manufacturer segment, which does not require any capital expenditure from our end. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bala. Friends, some of you have posted questions on the Q&A board. If possible, request you to take come on the Q&A floor and we can take it so that in case there are any follow-up questions, you can continue. Akhilesh, can I take some questions posted on the Q&A board?
Yeah, let's take the first one by Mr. Sarvesh Bodhani.
Yeah, Sarvesh Bodhani, he's posted a couple of questions. Sir, some large organized players like Kajaria are getting aggressive in the ply market and have a projection of 100 crore for this financial year. Is that leading to adverse competition in the market?
I'll answer that. Kajaria Plywood entered our industry in 2017 or 2018, if I remember correctly. And they have struggled to make much of a foothold in the industry. Yes, if they are reducing their focus and looking to grow aggressively, it does create a challenge. But we actually look at it from a very positive point of view. The more branded players come in our industry, it will lead to the scope for branded players, sale of branded sales to actually increase. It will increase the pie for the organized players. 75% of our industry still belongs to the unorganized. So, we really look forward to brands entering our space because it will change our category to the more organized space.
Okay. Sarvesh had a follow-up question. Also, earlier you were guiding for 20% revenue growth in FY24 and 6.5% type EBITDA margins. Now we are talking of mid-teen growth. Is it because we aren't too confident of recovery? Some volumes lost in Q1 due to cyclone rain impact. What has changed?
So our original estimation was 18 to 20% growth. We have moderated that to the mid-teens. Like to always be on the slightly conservative side. And if the market bounces back and the volume is there to to get back to the high teens, we're not going to say no to that. What has changed has been the demand for quarter one was very muted. We're still very early into quarter two to see how that goes forward. We are very confident of the same improving, but just being on the conservative side. The other question on the EBITDA margin of 6.5%, I think we should still be able to achieve close to that percentage. I don't see much of a challenge on that part. But yes, the volumes we have moderated.
Ankur Kumar, your question has already been answered by Akhilesh. The question was, we had margin guidance of 6.5% for this year. Do we stick to the guidance? And what are the levers to reach to that margins this year? Dilip Sahu, yes, you can unmute yourself and go ahead with your question, please.
Yeah, can you hear me, Mr. Akhilesh?
Yes, Mr. Sahu.
Yeah, yeah. So, slightly longish question. Just drawing a parallel, I was invested in one paints company, a 100-year-old, very strong in East, gone through their own issues and there was a change in management. A lot of parallels I see, very strong Asian Paint, Berger Paint kind of a competition and so on and so forth, very tough industry growing at similar ranges, ply. My experience with them has been they have tried first getting into branding, then to distribution. And finally, they got into a PE came in, and they are very focused now on growing market share, winning market share at the expense of profitability. So the guidance of profitability, which was negative for last 5-6 years, is going to continue to be negative, and they are going to take market share. So just want to understand your thought process on you know and on both growth versus conservatism. That is one. And second is that company has gone through three rounds of equity raise and very substantial ones. Last one, I think 25% dilution, because you need that kind of resources to fight number one, two, who are far, far larger than yours. So you have gone through one, but I think that's very small compared to the kind of resources you will need. So your thought process on where do you get, if you want to be a 1,000 crore company next 5 years, you need to raise multiple levels of issue, equity or debt or both. So your thought on the second. So these two, if you can let me know your thought process.
Thank you, Mr. Sahu, for that question. So, growth, I mean, we have the firm belief that growth has to be profitable. Yes, it's sounds very, for us, for me personally, sounds very nice to grow at the expense of profitability. But I don't think, that is something that gels very well for us. We've had a tough last few years, especially COVID made it really tough. So, very, very focused on ensuring that there is profitable growth. And if that results in a little bit of conservativeness, I think so be it. The brands are built on ensuring that quality products are maintained and market share, market share grows through sustainable practices. We have seen players in the plywood industry come in and struggle in spite of achieving short-term success by putting growth over profitability. But for some reason in our industry, that hasn't worked out very well in the past. One more thing to keep in mind is that our industry is 75% unorganized, and therefore, it's fair to assume that 75% of all channel partners that operate in this industry approximately are also unorganized. And that's a large part of where our conservatism comes from. The paint industry used to be like this industry, but over the last few years or the last couple of decades, they've become largely an organized industry, largely. So that it actually makes it easier for someone to go down this path of keeping growth ahead of margins. So I hope I've answered that part of your question. The second is we've gone through a small equity raise, which is right. To become a 1,000 crore company, this company will require multiple rounds of funding. Our first focus right now is to demonstrate that the growth and the turnaround that we have done is sustainable, and thereafter get into conversation with the right people on the next round of activity that needs to be done, whether it's equity and debt, and what will be the ratio of that. It'll be a combination of both. But yes, you're right. The company will need substantial infusion of liquidity and funds in the future to get to a 1,000 crore level. But first, first it is to demonstrate to our existing shareholders and investors that our growth is sustainable, our profitable, the profitable margins are sustainable, and we'll take it up from there.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very comprehensive answer. Thank you very much.
Friends, anyone with a question, request you to raise your hand so we can take it up.
There's one in the chat box.
Rathi, sir, any plans to open more experience centers like Kirtunagar? What's the outlook on decorative veneers, 10-inch and 12-foot plywood and flush doors? By when do we restructure cost of funds further?
So
three parts. One is any plans to open more experience centers? What's the outlook on decorative veneers, plywood and flush doors? And third is, by when do we restructure cost of funds further?
Right. For everyone here, we have in Delhi, in Kirti Nagar, our own experience center. It was the first of a kind in the industry, which we opened in late 2016, early 2017. North India being our strongest market, and we were looking at ways of consolidating our brand, ensuring our brand equity remains high. And therefore, this initiative was taken by the company. This is an extremely working capital intensive model that we have in Delhi NCR, mainly for the decorative business. And we will look to open more experience centers, but that is further in the future when we are able to invest heavily on the working capital side, especially for the inventory. So no plans as such right now. Though we do appoint dealers and distributors through whom we open mini display centers or mini experience centers. So that is the first part. Second is the decorative veneer business is also growing, but at a much lower rate compared to the plywood business, for the simple reason that the decorative side requires a lot of working capital, and hence it's moderated. The third was regarding the 10 feet products. So we are one of the few manufacturers in India that gives the entire range of 10 feet plywood, board, doors, and decorative veneers. It's a very niche market. It's not a volume play, but it is something that helps us get specified by the designers, especially as ceiling heights are increasing, especially in the high-end residential sector. So it's helping us in that segment, but it's not a major part of a volume. It accounts for less than 3% of our total revenue. So we don't expect it to become very big in the near future as well. But it gives us a, you know, it allows us to market to a particular niche, and that helps keep the brand equity strong in terms of innovation. So I hope that answers your question.
Akhilesh, there was a small last part to the question. By when do we restructure cost of funds further?
Right. Cost of funds, we are, you know, with our improved performance, this is an ongoing conversation we are having with our lenders. And I think as the performance continues to improve, we will see a reduction in our cost of borrowing. This is an ongoing process, and we're working aggressively with our banks to have the same moderated at the earliest.
Thanks, Akhilesh. Tarun, I hope all parts of your question is answered. Okay, there's a question from an anonymous attendee. Friends, it would be nice if you can identify yourself rather than putting it as anonymous attendee. Akhilesh, would you like to take that question?
We could. Do we have any accumulated losses? Pavan, can you give the exact figure for the carry forward losses that are still coming on?
Yeah, we have an accumulated losses of around 25 crores since FY23.
Yeah. Okay.
So, anonymous attendee, I hope that answers your question. Friends, anyone with any further questions, request you to please raise your hand and we'll take it up. Guess Akhilesh has taken up all the questions and answered them. Friends, thank you very much. I'd now like to hand over the webinar to Sudeep Ji once again for his closing remarks.
Thank you, Naveen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in this Q1 earnings call. There are plenty of challenges ahead of us, especially with the way the Q1 has gone. Having said that, we are quite optimistic of the growth coming on in the quarters ahead, and we are going to improve on all parameters. we believe in India's story and that there will be significant demand for home interior products. The strength of our brand gives us the confidence that we will grow and play a large part in this story. For us, as mentioned earlier, the journey has started and there's still a long way to go. So we look forward to seeing you at the next earnings call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I've shared my email ID in the chat with everyone. So in case there are any further follow-up questions or any unanswered questions, please feel free to write to me and we'll take it up with the management and get back to you. Thank you very much, Sudeep Ji, Akhilesh and Pawan, for taking time out to interact with the investors. On behalf of all of us at SKP Securities, thank you very much. And we look forward to hosting you once again in our next quarter webinar. Thank you and have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Naveen.
Bye-bye.